Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahanao Bhunaktu Sahaviryan Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastho Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Paramatma Sandarbha Adhyayana 2 Adhikarna 7. The jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 111. As a rule, the body of a human being, this is okay, quote, so that means this will be the doubt, right? As a rule, the body of a human is not seen along with the Atma. To equate human with Atma is thus metaphorical. Right? Because before it was, what was taking? Yes, since objects of the human or animal bodies are modes of the Atma, case identity is commonly used. So, therefore, calling the Atma along with the body together, because it's a mode of the Atma. The Atma is in a particular consciousness, therefore you say they're in that consciousness. So that body that they have is indicative of the consciousness. Mm-hmm. No? It means you say someone's a dog, means they have a consciousness of a dog. Yes. So in that way, by case ending, then the identity will be the same. Right? So we're connecting it there. Because the point is we're trying to show that the jiva, he's overcome by the modes of nature, while the Lord is not.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so then now, here. As a rule, the body of a human is not seen along with Atma. To equate human with Atma is thus metaphorical. Right? No, the bodies of humans and others take shelter of the Atma. Having the same cause and being modes of Atma, the usage is like class characteristics and qualities. That the body takes shelter exclusively of the Atma is understood from the fact that the body perishes when separated from the Atma. So when the Atma leaves the body, we'll say, oh, the body becomes unfit, so the Atma leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know? No, it's when the Atma leaves.
Yes.
That's when one dies.
Yes.
Because we see that there'll be,
yes,
let's say there's some accident.
Yes.
And in the same accident, someone lives and someone dies.
Yes.
Exact same accident.
Yes.
Like that. So the point is in one, the Atma left, the other, the Atma didn't. So therefore, they lived on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's the whole point, is that it only takes on those qualities as long as the Atma is there. As soon as it leaves, then it goes back into the elements.
Yes.
Right? Atma is the cause of the body, since it exists only for the purpose of enjoying results of action, originating from Atma. Body is a mode of the Atma, since it is observed that Devata and human are attributes of the Atma. Right? He has godly qualities, he has a Devata body. He has middling qualities, he has the human body. He has lower qualities, he has the demoniac body, or animals like this. This is the reason that words like cow, class, extend their meaning to attributes of the cow.
Mm-hmm.
So when you say a cow, you mean the qualities that it has and what it does and all that. Yeah. Objects like stick and earring, without such relationship, may invoke the same by becoming attribute elements by adding certain affixes. For instance, words like danda and kundala become dandi, possessor of a stick, and kundali, wearer of earrings.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can just adjust that ending. Like we saw before in the Natya Shastra, whoever's playing what or doing what, he's called by that.
Yes.
Right? If he's playing madanga, he's the madangi.
Yes.
Right? You know, stuff like that. So you can identify him by that external form that they're manifesting themselves through.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Like that. So that means because the madanga doesn't play. It's the person who plays. But because they're playing through the madanga, then they're called a madanga.
What is this? What's the proof? What is this trying to prove?
What is it proving? Because they're going to say, no, the Atma is transcendental, the Lord is everything, like this and that and all that, but they're not taking it transcendental from being a Shakti of the Lord. They're just saying that, no, we're Brahman. So it's just another angle to deal with this. Because already before you're saying, but then if you're saying Brahman becomes covered, see, it takes on that thing because of the Atma. So that means that there would be another aspect. Okay, so now if we're saying that the Atma takes on this body, and therefore we can identify it with that particular body because of the qualities it's manifesting, because of consciousness, right? So then that would mean if Brahman takes on the material form, that means those qualities are coming from Brahman. So Brahman would not be transcendental, right? Because that's how it's working here with the soul. And they'll say, no, it's just the metaphorical. The soul is always transcendental and all this kind of thing like that. But if the soul is transcendental, then why is it, how you say, then if we're already transcendental, what's the point? We have to become self-realized. You know what I'm saying? So Brahman, then Brahman has to become self-realized. But the point is, Brahman is Brahman. If Brahman can be covered, what's the point of Brahman? So they ran into so much difficulty because they're not accepting Shakti of Brahman. If they accept that Brahman has Shakti and that, then it's there. Because Brahman is the impersonal feature, doesn't mean nothing, like the Buddhists say. That's an illusion. Impersonal means it's generic. It could be applied to anything. Like you say, house. That's impersonal. But it doesn't mean that it's not coming from the position of having the qualities that therefore houses are there and houses are manifest. So it's not that the house is the lower form. Like that. You know what I'm saying? It's just an extent, it's a manifestation of the energies of Brahman. Right? But the point is why is there a house? Because of people. Yes. So because they don't accept the Shaktis of Brahman, they don't accept that, and because of the Shaktis, then you can have forms and everything. Because without Shaktis, then there's nothing. If you have Shaktis, then you have forms, and those forms can do activities and, you know, everything like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So they're trying to establish a philosophy based on that there is no Shaktis, therefore there's no forms, there's no activities, there's no nothing. And so then they're trying to explain all activity, all existence and everything from this philosophy. And so that's always going to be a problem. Right? Because they're working with that. They're trying to make a complete philosophy out of insufficient knowledge. You know, it'd be just like if I say cook khichdi and I give you some cumin seeds and I give you some dal, you know, and there's no water, there's no rice, there's no pot, there's nothing else. It's just that, you know. So it means you can take it, mix it together, and then you can say so. But it's a state of mind, or you know, you can do all kinds of things. So that's all they're doing, is they're trying to take an incomplete body of knowledge and then trying to make a complete understanding, which they can't. So every angle that they take, then it'll have a defect. And so here, then the defect is as the soul takes on the body, therefore then he's called by that. And it's the soul that's affected. Therefore, Brahman takes on, you know, the form of, covering by illusion. That means that fault is on Brahman. But the point is that's why Brahman doesn't take this on. The jivas are already separate living entities. But being small, then therefore they can be overcome. But you know, the other point is, no, the soul's unlimited. But if the soul's unlimited, like Brahman, how can it be covered? You can't cover something that's unlimited. You say you cover a portion, but the point of unlimited, there's no portion. You know what I'm saying? So they say things that from our perspective, the speculative perspective seems to make sense. Because if I give answers to the absolute in terms of time and space, I can relate to it. Because we think in time and space. But someone might point out a fault due to time and space. So I will think about it and come up with some solution, some key loophole or something like this. And but it's still within the context of time and space. You know, and then when you can't be explained at all, they'll just say, oh, it's inconceivable. So if it's inconceivable, why are you talking? You know? Why are you talking about something that you can't deal with? You know? So that's the thing, is because for them, it's not revealed. It's just they're trying to, by their intelligence, figure it out. Well, for the devotees, because they accept the Lord as a person, then he reveals himself. Right? Then they know transcendence. Is that so? Yes, so it's just that they're just, how you say? I think the saying is they're groping at straws. You know? They're trying to catch straws. It's just like if you're out in the river or something,
yeah,
and you're having difficulty, and some straws are going by, and you're grabbing at them because they're going to save you. So it's not going to happen. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Basically, because wisdom is basically the same all over the world. It's just you see by experience, and then everybody has, but you know, accordingly, they may have exactly the same, or it might be slightly different.
Yes.
You know, like that. But you know,
that's exactly the same.
Exactly the same. Yeah. You know, so it's just, and it couldn't be. It starts from there. Many times, some place in the world has a nice way of expressing it. Others kind of know it, but one culture expresses it very well. Then all the other cultures pick it up from them.
Yeah.
Like that. So, you know, so that way everybody adds in something to the overall, what do you call it? Lokika, you know, wisdom. You know. Is that? Yeah? Good? Something?
Just trying to somehow organize this knowledge. We have Brahman.
Mm-hmm.
We have energies of Brahman, which they don't accept, what we do.
Yes, yes.
And then Brahman has qualities, Satchitananda,
yes,
and then unlimited,
yes,
from there.
Yes.
So we are one of Brahman's energies.
Yes.
We have the Tattva energy.
Yes.
And we also have qualities, Satchitananda, but very minute.
Yes.
So this what connects us with Brahman, is that right?
Yes, yes, because... See, is the thing is our qualities are similar to Krishna's, not the external energy.
Right.
The external energy is temporary. It's based on avidya, and achit, asat, achit, and nirananda. Yes. And so then we don't. It's nothing, because friends or community comes from having common qualities, common values. So we don't have any common values with material energy. So all our qualities are common with the Lord. So therefore, the natural position, our friendship, our community is with the Lord. So that's what we're trying to work out. But because it's a reflection, we're taking the qualities that we would have for the original and then trying to apply them onto the reflection. You know, it's just like you see, the depending on the animals, but the lower animals, if they see themselves in a mirror, they think it's actually another of themselves.
Yes.
And it really freaks them out. That whatever they do back and everything. They bark, they bark, they move back. You know, it really freaks them out.
Yes.
You know, how are they so good at this? You know. You know. So. That's then what's happening. That's the illusion. We're thinking that the Maya, the reflection, is real. We're applying all the values we have of reality onto this non-reality. And then when it doesn't work, we try a different thing. Oh, well, let's try that's reflected, or that one, or this one. I try to interact with this. That doesn't work. So why don't I interact with something else in the reflection? Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so our position is we're subservient to the Lord, and we're not unlimited, we're Anu. And so therefore we're always servant to the Lord. That's our identity. Then within that, then according to our position in that, then we apply different religious process, recommended religious processes. And, you know, we have, you know, what's a servant of the Lord, but then of what kind of taste or flavor that we're, that is attractive, you know, as a goal, like that. But the identity is we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna. That doesn't change. It doesn't matter what your position is. That remains. Animals are the same, you know, humans are the same, demigods are the same. So that's the point, is when you're dealing with Atma, that's the universal principle. There is no universal principle off a you know, bodily identity. So that's why we want to be very careful of that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Means you can see is that there might be certain aspects that you're dealing with, but the community is based on the Atma. Not you can't start with the conditioning. If one starts with the conditioning, then you know how that's going to work, because even you start with the conditioning, everybody wants to be unique within their conditioning. You know, if you say, okay, we're from this region or that region, but they want to be unique within that. Or we're humans, but we want to be unique amongst the humans. So there's always going to be that aspect, is that you can't on that way get full community. So only based on the soul, that they all have the same nature. And then they have that relationship with the Lord. So that in that way, all living entities have that same, that relationship, that principle. You know, it's just like everybody likes to go to the feast. So everybody goes, but some may eat more of one preparation or another, or skip something and not another, or volumes will be different. But everybody wants to go to the feast. They all have a relationship with, you know, food. You know, hence Bhrigu Muni's point of I am food. Yeah? I guess it's colder, so.
Maharaj, when you were explaining last time and this morning, what is a case identity?
Case means in Sanskrit they'll have, depending upon the ending, it'll be showing what things connect together. You know, just like here you're saying Kundali, yes. That Dandi, yes. Means one who possesses the Danda, the, yes. Stick. Yes. You have a stick, Danda, and then who has that stick is the Dandi.
Yes.
So you're connecting them together. So that's a case ending. So Danda is one case ending, Dandi is another case ending. So Danda shows the noun. Dandi shows the person who, the noun who possesses that other noun.
Yes.
So it's a grammatical. Because
yes.
Grammar can always be used as one form of logic.
Yes.
Like that. So, you know, for us, it's, you know, in the contemporary age, especially with English, it's not of much use, because so much of the language is not necessarily regular.
Yes.
You know, if you had Latin, then you could use it.
Yes.
Like that.
Yes.
And so then, you know, it's a very major aspect of usage in for establishing things. Because that's what they're doing, is they're taking words and they're taking it out of the context. They're giving it indirect meaning.
Yes.
So for them, like, says, oh, it's just metaphorical.
Yes.
Like I heard before, you know, sometimes said, oh, you know, paranjana, oh, that's just, you know, that's just an aphorism. That's just metaphorical.
Yes.
So it may be through an aphorism or through a metaphor, he's showing, illustrating something. But the point is that Narad Muni is speaking to Maharaj Prachina Barhishat, and he's telling this story in such a way that Prachina Barhishat understands that he's talking about him.
Yes.
But instead of talking directly, he's talking,
yes,
through this indirect way.
Yes.
But it's a real conversation about a real situation,
mm-hmm,
that's bringing about real, how you say? Real understanding and realization. But when we say, oh, no, it's just a metaphor, then from it's just a metaphor, so it's not actually like that. Yes. So that means all the different things that Bhagavatam says and Prabhupada's purports and all, it's not actually like that. Yes. We don't have to follow exactly like that.
Yes.
You understand? So it's a standard intellectual ploy. Is that they use these words, other people don't really know what it means and all that, but then they just say this and then they take you off in some other direction according to their own purpose. Right? So the Mayavadis, their purpose is they want to be God. So by saying it's a metaphor, then they can somehow or another remove the things that show I'm not God. Because God's not controlled by the modes, I am. So therefore, how can you be God? You know, but no, it's a metaphor. So if we make it a metaphor, see, now I'm God.
Yes.
But why is it a metaphor? Why would they be speaking? Are these sages just foolish? They just sit around and babble and stuff like that? If they are, why are we listening to them? Why are we taking them as authority? So why is it the same text that says something that shows the oneness, and we say, see, here, this is real, but where it says there's a difference, says, oh, that's metaphorical. You know? Does that make sense? You know, but extreme dwait also is the other way. It takes all the dwait and anything ad-dwait, then it just leaves that. So the point is it's that balance. They both go together. You have to know the context. So the ad-dwait is subservient to the dwait aspect. You know, and the dwait is subservient to the ad-dwait. But, you know, so that's the whole point is we're different, but we're subservient to Krishna because we're his energy. Because of that oneness, that's why we're subservient. That we are too, that's how we serve. So in other words, the two is the relationship to relation is to at pastimes. But since they want to avoid interaction, that's why they avoid the dwait aspect. Because for them, on the material platform, it's always given them trouble. So now if we get rid of it, then there'll be no trouble. Does that make sense?
Yes. For Maharaj, there is always the two things. There is the word and there is the intent.
Yes. So you have to see that. Because otherwise, why are they bringing up metaphorical?
Yes.
If you say, yes, the Acharya, Narad Muni was using a metaphor here to explain to the king about his own nature. In other words, he was explaining exactly the king's nature.
Yes.
But he was doing it through a story. Mm-hmm. So that the king, you know, won't necessarily get up. He'll see the stuff, and he'll see Paranjana and all that and getting involved. And then at some point he'll go, hey, wait a minute, that's me.
Yes.
You know, by hearing from Narad Muni, he gets purified, and he's able to realize his own position. But if we just say, oh, it's a metaphor, so that means it's just a story, so we know stories aren't reality, so therefore now I'm open to pick and choose what I want from Bhagavatam. And from the Acharya's commentaries, you know, on which ones I want to apply in my life and which ones I'll just say, oh, that's just a metaphor.
Yes, yes.
You know what I'm saying? So it's the same intellectual trick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense?
Yes.
So the point is the modes of nature are the same. It's the same modes controlling everybody. So it's not that the methods will be different. They're just differently applied. Like I cut a potato or I cut an apple. The principle is the same. There might be some slight little difference in how I apply it. You know? Does that make sense? But otherwise, then it's not. You know, it's just like if I take, a potato, I can peel the whole thing whole. An apple, I peel the whole thing whole. There's still the top and the bottom aren't peeled. I have to cut it in half, or quite, and then I can get that last little bit. So there'll be a slight difference, but the principle of how it's working is the same. But so people think because we're peeling an apple is completely different than peeling a potato. It has nothing to do with each other. And this, then these are just delusion. It's the same thing. It's all karma or gyan. Either you want a material benefit or you want liberation. These are the two kinds of material consciousness you can. You can combine them also. You know, it's just like those who perform their material karma duties with detachment, they want liberation. Like that. Does that make sense? Or there's those who perform their material things with detachment, but only detachment, immediate detachment for this life, but they want the results in next life. So the person who's detached this life and next life, then that's for liberation. And that's one who's performing now with attachment, he wants the results now, this life. So you can see is as you add in no detachment, it gives it immediate. You add a little detachment, it gives you a further. You add no attachment, no attachment other than to be freed from, you know, I want to become happy. Then that gets you to liberation. But when it's being done for Krishna, that's actual detachment. Then that takes you to transcendence. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It's interesting that still their prayojana is based on experience, what they get in here.
Mm, yes.
So going there, they will be frustrated, obviously, because it's unnatural, what they desire. So
yes.
they will be back.
They'll be back, yes.
And then that's the process, basically going up and down constantly.
Yes, yes. That's the point. That's why you're, how you say, that cyborg is, that famous cyborg is a material entity. Does that make sense? They'll never get liberated.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because they're always coming back. Right? Yeah. So that the point is that they're simply taking what they're doing and okay, I want what I'm doing here is giving me misery. I want to be happy. Happiness is opposite of this. So that means if I want to be happy, I have to do the opposite of what you do here. So like you're saying, it's just using material logic to come up with their philosophy. Anything other than the pure Vaishnav is made up by their own experience. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the principle, is that one has to either accept the descending process as it is, or you will make up your own religious process. So if you don't accept what Guru Sadhu and Shastra says, you will make up the difference. You'll make up yourself, right? Because you have to have an identity. You have to have a process. You have to have a result. So if you're not accepting whatever you're not accepting in relationship, process, and result from Guru Sadhu and Shastra, you will add that in. That's how you get all the different schools of thought and philosophies and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
The difficulty is that we have similarities with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
but we also have differences with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So to combine them in the proper proportions, that's Vaishnav Siddhanta. We can come to this conclusion on our own.
No, never.
So then some see the similarities and they're quite happy just with that side.
Mm-hmm.
Some see the differences and they're also quite happy with that.
Right.
But the combination, that's what makes the position of the living entity.
Yes.
How to relate. Otherwise we don't know how to relate. The problem.
That's why we have to learn. It means, in any case, to learn to love Krishna, you have to associate with the Lord's associates. And we never did that.
Yes.
We, in that, you know, spiritual position, then we're not, you know, it's a spiritual position, but we're not actually taking up spiritual consciousness. Because spiritual means, in this case, you know, that is probably just for transcendental, where we're seeing a relationship with the Lord. And we're not seeing everything connected with the Lord. So that means we're not actually remaining on the Brahma-Bhuta platform. We may start with that, but we're not seeing it in connection with the Lord and moving forward. We're seeing connection with ourselves for sense gratification, so therefore we move down. So how to interact with the Lord, how to please the Lord, we have to learn that from the Acharyas. We can't learn it anywhere else. Only by the Lord's eternal associates can we know it. That's why we follow in their footsteps. We don't imitate. And then you can do it. That's why it said razor's edge. It's very exact, because Krishna is a person, so it's very exact what he likes. And if you don't, then if you're on this side or that side, then you have the Sahajiyas and the impersonalists. You know, smartas, like this. You have that's what you have on the two sides.
Also with the Maya bodies, if we take Brahman, then the spiritual is naturally connected to the Brahman. It's obvious.
Yes.
Then the Jiva may be connected, may be disconnected. That is, you know, it's not an easy thing. But material is definitely disconnected. So yes, they can see that the material is also indirectly connected to the Lord.
Yes.
So the whole, you know, thing just happens just like that. The reflection, the shadow, the
yeah,
Brahma Parinama Vada, and then yeah, the Jiva Vada, the whole thing, just because they can't connect material to the Lord, basically.
Yes, or the Jiva to the Lord.
Yeah.
Directly. They just say it's an indirect.
Yeah.
So there's an illusion. An illusion creates the material world. Illusion creates the jiva. So in other words, material energy creates the jiva and the material world. So every philosophy other than the Vaishnavs, then they're saying that the external world is creating the jiva, is creating life. So that's why you see scientists, they think, yeah, with the combination of matter, we just haven't figured it out yet. It's that, you know, so it's the same material consciousness. So only Vaishnavs actually understand that the relationship with the Lord is revealed by the Lord. And then you can understand these things. Otherwise, then you'll never understand. You'll always think that we're a product of Maya. You know, just somewhere, we're a product of Maya, so we can enjoy Maya. We're a product of Maya, so we get rid of that. Then we become Brahman.
Yeah.
That's all. But who they are, the relationship with Brahman, that they have absolutely no idea. None of the schools except Vaishnavas. You know, there'll be a little glimmer, like we were saying before, is that there's a few, they're basing it, you know, all the Vedic schools are basing it on Shastric verses. So they're taking some the elements they like and leaving the rest. You know, it's just like you have a full meal and then the kid just eats what they like.
Yes.
And even you have a preparation, they only eat the part of the preparation they like.
Yes.
You know? So, you know, like I've seen, like I say, there's a kid, you give him a pizza, little kid. Then they'll pick off the parts on the top they don't like.
Yes.
Then they'll eat all the cheese and the tomato sauce and leave the crust.
Yes.
So they only eat what they like. So that's the way all the philosophies are. Now in the West, because there is only Veda, knowledge is Veda, that unknowingly, then you know, by previous karma, they have a little bit of an inkling of certain aspects. And so then they may talk in those ways. So they're still talking on the Vedic principles, but they have no idea, no connection. And it, as you leave the Veda, it becomes more and more distorted. Right, because all the six systems, you can't classify them by chitta, chitteshwar, sadhana, sadhya. Because that's the Vedic, that's Upanishadic principle. But in the West, they don't have that idea. And so then, you know, it's like one thing here, one thing there. They have something, they sell one thing, and on that they build a whole philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So like that, it's just by observation. And so, yes, mechanics they can develop, but they won't actually understand where that comes from, why that works. You know, it's just like you have the center. Everything moves off the center in martial arts. Right? So that principle they all accept. But the point is why that's like that, they wouldn't have a clue. Because Krishna is the center and everything is around him. Everything's expanding from him. You know, so they don't know these things. So they just, by observation, they notice that's how it works. Does that make sense? You know, like the tree, the wind's blowing, and if everything moves off the center, the tree stands up. If it doesn't move off the center, it breaks. You know what I'm saying? The wind comes and it stays straight, it'll break. But if it turns, you know, then it's fine. So these kind of things that they've observed. So it's Veda, but they don't know it's Veda. They just see it as knowledge and think, yes, I figured this out. It was shown to you. You know, by karma. And so in that way, anything that is of any value, that's connected to Krishna, and anything that's not. So just because there's one thing of value doesn't mean the rest is of value. You know, it's just like there's a bunch of mud and there's a gold ring in there. So because there's a gold ring there, it's not that now the mud is fabulous. No, you pick up the ring and leave the mud. You know, like that. Does that make sense? But that becomes the thing, is that let's say some karmi says something that's similar to what we say. Now it's like, oh, anything he says will be good. No, that one thing he said, that's nice. That's great. So that becomes the thing. Or, no, the karmi, nothing they say is worthwhile. So even if they're giving good, valuable things, we won't take it. Or, we'll take everything. No, the point is that's the point of the swan. It takes the milk, leaves the water. So, yeah. So that's why sometimes you see what Jiva Goswami is, he's pointing out the faults in Shankar or these other impersonalists or materialists. And sometimes he's quoting them because what they're saying is correct according to the Veda. So that balance, you know, that we get from the acharyas, that's the difficult part. Because our tendency is we don't see the balance. It's always extreme. It's either this or it's that. So, yeah. One should not say that the body is not a mode of the Atma by saying that the Atma is not perceived by the eye like class characteristics and an individual. The body takes shelter of the Atma alone. The eye does not perceive the natural fragrance of earth since it does not have capacity. Similarly, the eye cannot perceive the Atma since the eye does not have the ability, in spite of not being visible. The body cannot be separated from its role as a mode of the Atma. Right? Because it's a mode of the Atma because the Atma has consciousness, and by that consciousness, that's therefore what kind of body. The body is to express a particular kind of consciousness. That's the whole point. The 8,400,000 are 8,400,000 ways to express consciousness. Right? Means polluted consciousness. Okay, now another doubt. In using words by the word body, only body is understood. Oh, now they're being literal, right? The word body does not extend its meaning to the Atma. Right? That's their idea. That is not so. The word indicating the body existing as a mode of the Atma extends its meaning in order to show understanding of the object when describing the body. Right? Because otherwise, if there's no Atma, it's just a dead body. You know, whatever body it is, you'll say it's a dead body. That's the important thing, not what body it is. Right? But if the Atma is there, now you're talking about the qualities it has and everything like that, and the separate and the uniqueness of it. You know, it's like Prabhupada says, the doctor, the soul is the doctor. It's not the body is the doctor. The body is just a body. It's dead matter. But it takes on those qualities of being a doctor because the consciousness of the soul thinks, identifies, I'm a doctor. Therefore, the body is a doctor. So, yeah. Similarly, the word cow extends its meaning to a white form with certain qualities. Like the word cow, like words like human and devata extend their meaning to Atma. Since the lumps of matter as devata and human are modes of the Atma and are the body of Paramatma. The words indicating Jivatma extend their meaning to Paramatma. So then here again, this is then the further thing, saying that the jiva is always dependent on the paramatma. Okay, so now we're saying he becomes, let's go back to the part, dandi,
yes.
Right? The one with the danda. But what's the danda? Where's the potency of the danda come from? Where's the, that comes from paramatma. So that means then your identity is actually based on paramatma. But it's through the material energy rather than direct. Yeah. So that makes sense. So that brings it back how the jiva is still dependent on paramatma, even on the material platform. Yes?
So it won't be wrong, like, to continue that explanation, that the body takes shelter in the jiva.
All right.
And the jiva takes shelter in the paramatma.
Yes.
So paramatma leaves, the jivatma follows paramatma, and the body follows jivatma. That's this progression. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Means he's following, but the point is because he doesn't know what is paramatma, he's an illusion. And so he thinks the material energy is the thing. He thinks the body and the bodies are, but the point is the bodies are manifestations of the universal form. So the jiva following the universal form, thinking that the forms themselves are important, not understanding the potencies come from the Lord. Or even if they understand the potencies come from the Lord, but the Lord's given this to us to enjoy, so therefore then they focus on that. So then, like you said, there's that when the jiva follows the paramatma in devotion, they engage the body to serve the Lord. So then the body is engaged in assisting the jiva in the atma in showing their devotion for paramatma. So that means it's direct. And the other is indirect. It means it's from your position as atma through the body then to the Lord. So you don't get credit for spiritual devotional understanding. It's only when it's direct to the Lord, and then you use the body to assist in that way. So in either way, spiritual or material, they're dependent on the Lord. Does that make sense? The consciousness and unconscious entities are the body of Brahman. As well known in the Shrutis, yasya prithivi shariram yasatma shariram, earth is his body, the jiva is his body. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3.7.34. So they'll take it to see where Brahman. And we're saying no, the Lord, everything's the Lord's energies. Yes, we're Brahman as an energy of Brahman, and if we act in that relationship, then we have the consciousness. And we can function in the position of Brahman. But that doesn't mean we become the supreme Brahman.
Yes.
So that's the whole thing. They're so desperate to be the supreme Brahman. Because in the material world, they want to be the best. And since they can't be, then they want to be the best in the spiritual. So it's the same mundane mentality, just applied instead of to karma, to jnana. So therefore, that's why you see is that depending upon what they're doing, if we're not talking about certain techniques or positions and all that, then they're just as much of a gross materialist as the next guy. But if we're talking about certain religious aspects or things like this, then yes, the detachment, that following the Vedas, this and that is a better position than some of the others. They have application of the understanding of the Vedas better than the Karmis. But at the same time as their intent and all that, they're actually worse off because they can't understand the personal relationship where the karmis can. Does that make sense? Yeah. So yeah. Yes?
So it won't be wrong to say we're coming from Brahman.
No.
The origin of the jiva is Brahman.
Yeah, of course. And just by saying that, everybody shuts up because karma and jnana, those are material concepts, so we immediately accept them. If I give you a reason for that has either a karmic reason or a liberation reason, we won't ask another question. Mm-hmm. So by saying the jiva comes from Brahman or falls from Brahman, means he comes from Brahman, means because he is Brahman, and he comes from the supreme Brahman. He falls from Brahman means that the neutral position, the Tathasta position, is a position of Brahman. But at the same time, until it connects to Krishna, it doesn't actually become spiritual. You know? Like that. And so he falls from that position. So you can say he fell from Brahman, but you have to know what is the meaning of that. But just by saying that, no one will ask further. And so then the topic is finished. Because what's the doubts? The doubts are not unlimited aspects of you know, Vaishnav, Siddhanta, or things like that. The doubt is, do I come from Brahman? And so that's the one thing. If that hadn't come up, no one has any problem. It's only when everyone says, you know, you're coming from the spiritual platform, like that, and you fall from your relationship with Krishna. It doesn't mean you're acting in that relationship, but you fall from the position of natural taking up that relationship. Just like you say the child, they have the potential, natural potential to develop a relationship with their parents. But somehow or another, they're separated from the parents, they fell from that relationship. Right? They're not acting in that relationship, though they never actually practically applied it. But it's a so therefore, if this kid, after 5 years, 10 years, then it's worked out who his actual parents are, and they get together with the parents, no one will complain. It's natural. Yeah, so therefore, it's just you can see the intelligence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that these kind of questions, like you can see, even though it's been answered so many times, Prabhupada's given, others have given, and all this, then, but it's still, you know, since when was that? What would that have been? No, it was goes back. It started when, it would have been, because Srila Prabhupada mentioned that for certain etiquettes of how gurus are to deal, you ask this person. And so then, as we said before, they asked that person, but Prabhupada said only in that area ask. And so that if he has answers in this, then he has answers in everything. And then so then they ask, you know, stupid questions. Prabhupada's already answered it, but they ask the question again. Then he gives a different answer. He just gives this answer, Bhaktisiddhanta's answer of, you know, he fell from Brahman. And that's where all the problem comes up. Oh, no, you see all this, but what about this point? You say all that, no, what about this point? So it's simply one point. Mm-hmm. It's that it's an attachment to impersonalism, that's all. Because otherwise, even you're saying it, it's not understood what that means, like what you said there. So it's not a problem to say that. You know, is it this or is it that? No, it's explaining one thing, just different aspects of one thing. I'm saying this is a table, and you know, here, you know, it's been polished in this way, and you know, it's using a natural polish, and you get the different colors of the wood here. You know, this is a darker wood, so you get a darker natural polish. This is a lighter wood, you get a lighter polish, and like that. And so, you know, then someone else says, you know, and then someone else is talking about, yes, you know, so then this is the, you know, tables like this. It's a traditional kind of one for studying in that. You know, you can put your book on here and that, and it has that, you know, that slope and this little thing here to hold the book. And so then, you know, it's just perfect for the height that you're sitting and things like that. Then someone else will bring it. Yeah, no, it's a really great desk. It's compact and that. You can stick so many things inside and all that. So it's very convenient and everything like that. Three different aspects of one thing. So then here's the fun. So when was that? That would have been 2008. So that means 42 years. It's no, but you know, it's either only about the polish, or it's only about its capacity, or it's only about its usage. It can't be all three. The same foolishness has been being discussed for 42 years. So we're not dealing with a proper use of intelligence here. But it's extremely popular. Because we want to use our material concepts of time and space to explain something that's beyond time and space. And we demand that it has to be explained within time and space. Otherwise, it's not logical and I can't accept it. Because I'm mundane and I only accept mundane answers. So, Bhaktisiddhanta says something very clever. Fell from Brahma. Very clever. Because the point is that the situation that you're in at Tathasta is Brahman. You are Brahman and you fall from that position of Brahman into thinking you're dead matter. So from these things, but what does that indicate? So people who know more philosophy, then they'll go, but then the supreme Brahman's Krishna. And then my position is to come to that position and go forward like that. Like that. So, but if you're asking people who don't, you fell from your position, and it means he's not talking about that the spiritual world is there, and you fell from that position within the spiritual world. Prabhupada does, because then it puts you there. I want to go there. Because otherwise, then what's going on? The Bengalis aren't getting that. They say that. They have no problem with the Mayavad. But you get the Westerners is then, oh no, but it's Brahman, and then who are we? Do we have a relationship with Krishna? And if we don't have a relationship, then who are we? And this, their whole world turns upside down. Because paschatya desha, you know, nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya, they're all impersonalists. Say what you want, it's just impersonal. And void. And so as soon as you throw in one thing of void, I got that, oh yeah. You know, blah, 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 it's one, blah, 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 who, hey, what's one? You know, I don't hear anything except for that. And with the others, then, you know, you have to use a sledgehammer to get that through. But just a slight, you know, gentle breeze of anything else, and, you know, we got it. You know? So therefore, Prabhupada spoke according to the situation. Because that is the position. They're both correct. This thing is, oh, it's one or it's the other. They're both correct. But saying it's this or it's just like saying Dwait's correct, Advait's correct. But to say it's exclusive, then it's bogus. It's achintya beda beda tattva. So you have to be able to appreciate how it goes. So that's what's going on here, is that you just take one thing and then you push it and you won't let it go. Like, you know, you always have the, why do they keep bringing these things up? You know, it's already been defeated. Because they're attached. So what's the attachment? That we're from Brahman, it's an impersonal thing, and all this personal, you know, you got to work so hard. Wow, it's a party. Does that make sense? So this is the difficulty we're dealing with, is that due to our conditioning, we project that onto what we're doing. Wow, one more. Okay. Sure. Yes.
Therefore, Babaji, he tells to Brajanath, who initially couldn't get this point through, he said, don't go to others.
Yes.
Don't ask questions from other people.
Right.
You want to understand it, just chant Hare Krishna. By practice, it will be revealed.
It will be revealed, yes.
But then, as you mentioned, we're not satisfied with one question, trying to get, you know, some clear vision, go to the next, the vision becomes more, you know...
Yeah, it seems that there's contradiction.
Yeah, confused, and then going next.
So what's the taste? The taste is being confused.
Yeah.
The taste is ignorance.
Yeah.
So in other words, he said this, he said... Like, I noticed that someone asked, you know, so what's your opinion on this? You know, and if you say anything different, oh no, but then this one said this. It said, well, if you already asked him, why are you asking me? They just want to ask to see if there's anything different, because if there's difference, I can speculate. So I can maintain my speculative nature. I don't have to accept the absolute truth. So it's just an attachment to mental speculation. It's not a sincere search for the absolute truth. Otherwise, you ask your own, you know, who you're related to, who you identify with. You know, otherwise, how far are you going to get in Vrindavan? You go around and says, you know, ask each devotee, you know, what's the, you know, what it is that you're attracted to Krishna, and they each say something different. And then which is it? You know, is it this? Is it that? I'm so confused. So if I'm confused, then what does that leave to do? I can only absorb myself in the material nature according to my conditioning and be satisfied that they all say, no, it's this and no, but you all guys are all confused. So therefore, I'm one-pointed determination just being absorbed in my mundane capacity. It's just tricks of the mind, tricks of Maya to confuse us. And so in that confusion, what will we pick? We'll always pick Maya. It's not that we get confused and therefore now I give up all material, all spirit, everything. No, they'll give up the spiritual, what is telling you to surrender, except other spiritual that doesn't necessarily say that, and will definitely keep material. You know, it's always that you see is that the most proud person in trying to describe, you know, detachment and renunciation, you know, what we're dealing with, the impersonalist, is always a grihastha. You know, that 40, 50, 60-year-old, you know, with grandchildren, and, you know, his whole thing, he's worked hard, his whole life has developed very nicely, he's very well-situated, he knows how to move in the material world. When he speaks on impersonalism, he's so much heavier than the Maya bodies. You know, because you know, it's a thing. Yeah, see how I know so much. It's another feather in their hat. You know, I'm a gross materialist. I family, wealthy, influential. You know, political, all these different things. And I'm also know the philosophy. And you know, knowing philosophy is a good thing. But you see, it's there. Well, my advice is just say, no, this is what it is. You know. They're supposed to say it very pleasantly and very nicely. Mm-hmm. So it's just that's the thing is that we maintain our material attachment, and we simply use this as, oh, if it's not this, it means if it's this, then I have to do it. But if it's this or maybe this, now it's which one is it? You know, and I either have to choose one or the other. I was choosing this, but now this came up, and so maybe it's something else. And so then what's my thing? I do neither. I just go back to doing whatever I'm doing. That way I can feel comfortable. Oh, yeah, why are you doing and, you know, not being so serious? Well, how can I be serious? You know, people are doing this and that, or, you know, everyone's confused, or, you know, it's just an excuse why I'm the materialist. So...
And we even have a term for this. It's called spiritual shopping.
Spiritual shopping.
We go one, it's okay, then next. But the price is too high, then next.
You can bargain also.
Nectar shopping.
Huh?
Nectar shopping.
Nectar shopping. That's what they also, Brahmacharis call it that. Yeah, nectar shopping. Yeah. So it's a...
For Brahmacharis, it's only books. You go from one book to another.
One book to another, yeah.
Any new book came in the market.
Okay, go ahead. Get the latest book, then you quote that book, tell the stories from that book. Yeah, so it's just confusing. So like you said, Babaji Maharaj said, don't go to someone else and ask, because, you know, everybody's going to have their level of realization and you'll just get confused. Therefore, you chant. If it does... means you heard it, Prabhupada explained it, it doesn't make any sense, keep chanting.
Yes.
And then with time, it'll make sense. Does that make sense? Like we're here, we're studying Jiva Goswami on this one particular point, and then it makes sense. You know? So that's just how it works. Because we have an attachment for Brahman, so we think it's in one way, but when you don't have an attachment, it's attachments to Krishna, and Paramatma and Brahman are part of Krishna, then it makes sense.
Yes.
But if you're seeing Brahman as one thing and personal and as another thing, then it will never make sense. One has to continue chanting. Yeah. That conscious and unconscious entities are the body of Brahman, is, oh, I just read this. Okay, yes, is well known in the Shrutis. Yasya prithivi shariram, yasya atma shariram. Earth is his body, the jiva is his body. Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 3:7-3:4. Though the jiva and matter are the body of the Lord is not touched by the qualities of jiva and matter since he possesses his vidya shakti. So that's what puts him above. What we see is that the mayavadis is the vidya shakti still puts him below. Brahman. Right? The words tattvamasi have the direct meaning of Brahman, tat as the cause of the universe, and having jivas, its body, tvam. Case identity is achieved by expressing one entity endowed with two modes. Right here. So then the Lord, then the jiva, then the material world. Like that. There is case identity employing endowment of qualities. For instance, it is said in the description of mantras for Jyotishtoma, Jyotishtoma sacrifice. Aruna yai kaha yanya pingakshya gava somam kri nati. He buys soma with a tawny cow with red eyes, 1 year old. The adjectives describing the cow in case identity with the cow. It is also seen in common usage such as bring the blue lotus. Right? So you're putting that the qualities connected with the thing. Mm-hmm. Like that. Thus Brahman with all auspicious qualities and no faults is the antaryami of the jiva and has unlimited powers. This agrees with the introductory statements and fulfills the promise that by knowing one entity, everything is known. Since Brahman, having subtle, unmanifest chit and achit substance as its body, produces the effect with the gross, manifested chit and achit substance as his body. And so the subtle, the gross, all this is expanding from the Lord, from Brahman. Right? So when we say everything is Brahman, it means it's all the Lord. There's external energy Brahman, internal energy Brahman, there's the jiva Brahman, and there's part of Brahman. Yes. That's why Krishna then, the Chaturshloki, says he is everything. He is all the values and qualities of everything, because we're connecting the quality and the situations together, the things together, the objects together. But he says, I am beyond that. I am separate from that. Mm-hmm. Like that. That means through his energies, he's created everything and all these qualities of his, then they're all energies of his. But at the same time, he is the origin of all this, is separate. Mm-hmm. So there's Chaturshloki. And so therefore then, it's mentioned that all times, all places, all situations, that you're trying to, you know, directly and indirectly understand one's relationship with the Lord. Mm-hmm. Right? So directly means what is him. Indirectly means through the first two shlokas. Right? Mm-hmm. Directly means the third shloka. Mm-hmm. And your process, the fourth shloka, you're using both. Mm-hmm. I see Krishna, or I see the situation, how it connects to Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah?
Like that is complete.
Yeah, then it's complete. It has the balance. Because of the non-difference of cause and effect, the jiva is the manifested chit consciousness of the Lord, Atma. Tvam Ishvaranam Paramam Maheshvaram. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:8. So we think we're a controller, but he's the supreme controller of all controllers. Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. It is said that the Lord has various shaktis. Svetasvatara Upanishad 6:8. Apahata pa-ma satyakama. The Lord is free of sin and is fully satisfied. Chandogya Upanishad 8:15. These statements do not contradict the conclusion. Why is there a differentiation between what is to be explained and the most excellent entity, tat in tattvamasi? Nothing need be explained. For the answer is in Aitadatmyam Idam Sarvam. The Lord is the Atma of all this. Chandogya Upanishad 6:8-7. Right? So everything is there, but the soul of everything is the Lord. Even us, he's the soul of us. We may be the soul of this body, but he's our soul. And the body that we have, it functions that we can use it, that we're the soul of the body because it's the Lord's body. It's his potency. Like that. Does that make sense? So as part of the universal, as the body of the universal form, then he is doing that. And that's then the universal form is then expanding from Garbhadakshaya and Kiradakshaya Vishnu. You know, which is expanding from Mahavishnu, expanding from Mahashankarshan, from Mahanarayan, from Baladev, from Krishna.
So to be Krishna conscious means to understand and realize the cooperation between the Lord and the Jiva.
Yes, the cooperation. Means, that's the important.
It's to be aware that like we are maybe a controller, but a small one.
Yes.
And the Lord is a big one.
Yes.
And we are meant to serve, but we are existing also with different, I can say, qualities.
Yeah, qualities and consciousness. It means that we have, what's that? Compatible qualities.
Yes.
And we have some independence. That's why we are able to perform an action.
Yes.
But that action needs to be in context of the Lord.
Yes, yes.
So that means that's where our independence is that we can do an individual action. But that action, but we're still dependent on the Lord, that we have to do that individual action in context of Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Because even we say we're doing that action, we're still doing it with his potencies. I may be doing something, but I'm doing it in this whole environment. That whole environment's being controlled by someone else.
Yes, yes.
And they're controlled by Krishna.
Yes.
So that's the point, is that we're all individual, but within the context of that everything's Krishna. But that context of everything's Krishna, it's the person that everything is. Right? The person is the origin. Then from him come all his energies. And then we can work with those energies, but it all goes back to it. So therefore there's that oneness and the difference. But the oneness and difference is still personal.
Yes, yes, yes.
So when we say oneness, it's personal, and when we say difference, it's personal.
Yes.
Oneness means it's all Krishna, the person, and difference means it's Krishna, the person, and us, the person.
Yes, yes.
Because all his energies are personal because he's personal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point of cause and effect. Yes.
In this context, in his commentary to one verse from Bhagavad Gita, Madhvacharya mentions that the devotees, they're always friendly and cooperate with the demigods, understanding that the demigods are executing the Lord's universal plan.
Hmm. Okay. Mm. Yeah, means we're always, but we don't worship them separately.
Yes.
We worship the Lord. And then he's included. But it's interesting because he's got, I guess it's because of the aspect of Vayu, right? So then he'll always include them as devotees. While Ramanuja's just coming straight from Vaikuntha. You know? And so then he will just look at it from that aspect. No? Because they're technically all expanding from. Because he's an amsha of Sesha. And so they're all expanding from Sesha, all the demigods. Therefore, you don't need to. You just deal with Sesha. You just deal with the Supreme Lord. But, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.